In this podcast, overall, I talk to people about being present, about coming into the moment. Just to let you know, in my opinion, there's a way in which I think I'm making a huge mistake. Everybody's already living in the present, and nobody needs my help to do that. So this 10 Crutches project is, in a way, just plain silly. On the other hand, maybe it'll be helpful to someone. Given my own anxieties about the future, and given all the difficulties I've had in the past that often creep into the present moment, I find I space out plenty. I daydream often. I find it difficult to pay attention to this or that. And I've been very glad over the years to receive all the help I've received from teachers and people who spoke and wrote books. And whatever. I'll present my synthesis of what I've learned so far. The thing with talking about the present, the thing with the principles I try to use and explain, is that they are often independent of any particular set of conditions or circumstances you might find yourself in. Whatever shape things take is the shape things take. Whatever happens, happens. Easy enough to say, but how do you deal with all these different situations? What principles underlie all the different situations? And what that means is that I try, in effect, to talk about something independent of the world. In a way, it's independent of any particular circumstance. I'm trying to reach for something that is true from situation to situation, regardless of the particulars. And that's why it's a mistake. There isn't anything that's true across all situations, regardless of the particulars. And yet, we often try to do that, and we often try to find those principles. And many, many people consider this spiritual territory. When I was asked by my podcast platform to list what category this podcast was in, you know, I'm uploading it, I'm there, I have to pick out something. So out of all the choices, religion and spirituality seemed the most obvious choice, but I wasn't thinking of that category when I started recording. I wasn't really thinking of any category. So when I went to the list, here's how it starts off. Arts. No, this isn't about arts. Business? Even less about business. Comedy? Well, I try to get a smile sometimes, but this isn't comedy. Education? Okay, maybe education. I believe I listed that as a secondary category. Fiction? No. Government? No. So et cetera, et cetera. The list went on. I thought the most likely person to be interested in my podcast would be someone looking in the spirituality category. Personally, I don't consider my podcast to be about anything spiritual at all. Not much for spirits or souls or any of that. I have nothing against it. I understand for many people, it's an important framework. It's just for me personally, souls and spirits are in the end stories to me, and they have all the pros and cons of any story. What's important to me is that once I'm in an arena that people consider spiritual, I come across my own spiritual aspirations. There is just no way for me to avoid that. What is a spiritual aspiration? One is certainly wanting to become enlightened. That's the one I started off with. Wow, did I have that big time. I really wanted to become awakened and enlightened and feel all the special feelings I imagined went along with it. I really wanted to be all those special things that I imagined when it went along with becoming enlightened. Just like some people want a bigger house or a bigger car, I wanted to be recognized as a wise or some kind of important teacher. Other spiritual aspirations might include wanting to become a good person, to become a pure person, to increase the quality of your attention. You might aspire to do that. You might want to have special insights, psychic powers, anything like that. In any particular aspiration, in and of itself, whether it's material or spiritual, and I say this over and over, there's nothing inherently bad or wrong about having a hope or aspiration. The worst thing about them is that the more compelling they are, the more they are distractions. The really compelling ones will often lead you to do things that are counter to your stated goal.
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Yes, indeed, it is ironic. So, for example, my aspiration to be a great teacher and to be a great teacher of how to become more present, it might lead me to imagine myself giving some kind of talk to a group of people about how important it is to become present, and here's the things you can do, and here's why it's so important. And so then, in the middle of my fantasy, my wife asks me, "What are you thinking about?" And then I snap back to reality, and we're driving to the grocery store. And do I tell her that I was having a fantasy about teaching people how important it is to be present?
A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think.
So I recognized myself very early in my life, in my 20s, that I had these aspirations. But I really had them so big. And what I realized much later, and by much later, I mean decades later, is that there's a way it's good at the beginning of a spiritual practice to have some aspiration. Otherwise, we might just keep looking around in the material world for this particular success or that particular success. I mean, we kind of do them in parallel anyway. But it's hard to let go of the idea of finding physical material success, like riches or power, without replacing it with some kind of spiritual, quote-unquote, success. It's so easy to very naturally shift the aspiration from the physical into the so-called spiritual realm. I think our aspirations are wonderful and important, but they also can be misleading. They can take us in many directions we really don't want to go in. So I wanted to develop a set of aspiration precautions, particularly in regard to becoming more present. And that's what I want to talk about today. Hello, and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. As you may know from another episode, or from looking at the podcast website, I mentioned from time to time, I am a retired hospice nurse. And I'm going to put more about hospice in general and more about aspiration precautions related to the field of nursing in the show notes. But meanwhile, I'll just say here briefly, when you're nursing and you come across a patient who's unable to swallow correctly, and this can be any patient, hospice or otherwise, if you can't swallow properly, food can possibly fall into the lungs and seriously interfere with breathing. That's called aspiration. If someone develops an infection, for example, from food falling into their lungs, they get some kind of pneumonia. That's called aspiration pneumonia. So to help prevent this as a nurse, you need to educate family members and caretakers. If you're going to feed someone, how do you prevent aspiration? Sometimes a dying person wants just 2 spoonfuls of chocolate pudding. That may be all the food they want and need for the entire day. When the body's shutting down and doesn't need much, you do what's called comfort feeding. For me, it would be butterscotch pudding. But however little a person is eating, you still want them to be able to swallow safely. So in nursing, aspiration precautions are a fairly simple set of guidelines that caretakers can follow to prevent someone from aspirating. for example, just sit the person up. So their swallowing tube is vertical to the ground. You don't want to feed somebody when they're horizontal, although often that is what happens. But you want to, if you can, sit the person up. Take small bites, small sips. They're very simple and straightforward. It's just common sense. But make sure they've swallowed their food before you go on to give them the next bite. Sometimes people pocket their food. Whatever. I don't mean to go into nursing aspiration precautions. But once a nurse, always a nurse. So anyway, that's aspiration precautions from nursing. And that's where I first heard the words and first got the idea. And then, of course, I make a 90-degree turn. And I can go in a totally different direction because spiritual aspirations need precautions as well. When living a spiritual life, if you want to call it that, you can say that the old way of being in the world is dying, and a new way of being in the world is being born, at least metaphorically. What is the old way that is dying exactly? What is metaphorically dying in my life as I aspire towards my awakening, my enlightenment, my being able to become more and more present? This spiritual aspiration, my hope, my yearning toward something other than what I have, this aspiration always starts located somewhere in the future. Even when I thoroughly understand that there's no present I can awaken in other than the present that I'm in, it still feels to me like an aspiration toward some future event. Because clearly, I don't have it now. There's no way I have it now. And right now, me, enlightened, awake, like, I mean, I look around, I see all the same shit I usually see when I look around. I don't see anything special. I just see this ordinary present moment. So, of course, my spiritual goal, the one I aspire toward, it must take place in the future because it isn't happening now. The central thing, the central whatever it is in me that's dying, it's the belief that I lack here in the present moment. I lack, I don't even know for sure what it is. What am I lacking? My wholeness? My enlightenment? But even when all my basic survival needs are met, I'm sure I'm lacking something. But what I believe that I am missing is impossible to obtain in the future. I can't obtain my wholeness in the future because I already have it. Even if I don't feel like it, when I think it through, I can have faith that it's true. I already have it. But something's preventing me from experiencing it. What is dying are my former beliefs about awakening and what it is and how important it is and what it would mean for me. Not really the aspiration itself, not really the yearning itself. What starts to die is the yearning oriented towards the future. My aspirations based on a lack in this moment have kept me needing to envision a future where I can finally get relief. But my aspirations, wrongly oriented, need hospice care. I keep trying to swallow what I used to believe about some enlightenment happening in the future, and it's choking me here in the present. So, for me personally, this is just about me. When I take stock of where I'm at vis-a-vis enlightenment, here's where I see myself. A, I still have a deep yearning towards enlightenment happening for me in the future, which leads to B, a desire to let go of this yearning. I can see, at least theoretically, how it's not true that I need something to happen in the future. At least theoretically, in terms of being whole, I theoretically recognize that I have everything I need in the present. Theoretically, which leads to C, an awareness that this aspiration of mine to let go of chasing enlightenment is really just more of a subtle form of the same thing. It's one of those, the goal of letting go of goals. In other words, I'm proud of how humble I would be if I ever got enlightened. But still, there is D, some awareness that my aspiration, my yearning, the yearning itself is good and necessary. But the goodness of it depends on my not having any object or goal related to the aspiration. I just need the aspiration itself. And if a goal manifests in my awareness, I need only take a deep breath and do my best to let it go. So the aspiration precautions I created for myself on my path, on my spiritual path, or whatever you want to call it, they're an attempt to keep my focus on the yearning itself and help me cultivate the yearning independent of any particular manifestation. I'm letting my attention fall away from the daydreams that arise from my deep yearning. My daydreams arise as conscious thoughts and feelings. They arise as goals that can be achieved in the future. So my precautions attempt to embrace the contradiction between my strong desire to awaken and the impossibility that awakening can be anything more than what already exists. So here are the aspiration precautions. I'm going to reprint them in the show notes at 10crutches.link. There's four of them altogether. They remind me that what I am most deeply searching for is already right in front of me. Precaution number one. Remember that making an effort to, quote, become enlightened, end quote, cannot succeed. In the present moment, you already have whatever wholeness you might crave. Precaution number two. Remember that, quote, awakening, end quote, cannot take place in the future. In the present moment, the future is a mental construct, not a place where events can occur. Precaution number three. Remember that, quote, awakening, end quote, also cannot take place in the present. In the present moment, the construct of saying, this is the present, is a construct that takes you out of the present. Precaution number four. Remember to engage fully in reality without any ultimate goal. In the present moment, if the whole universe doesn't need an ultimate goal, neither do you. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.